أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وصحابته الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. أما بعد، my esteemed brothers and sisters in this great group Al-Irshad al-Ummah, today being the second day of Ramadan 1441 AH, which coincides with the 25th day of April 2020, I welcome you all once more to the continuation of our study of the book on Tajweed named Al-Hidayat al-Mustafid. With the most noblest of greetings, وهي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the past week, we have talked about the similarities between Lam and Ra, and we concluded on the issues of at-tafkhim and at-tarqiq with regards to the pronunciation of Lam and Ra. Today, inshallah, we are going to continue from where we stopped the other time. If you remember, we moved to page number 23, where we discussed about the laws of Ra. Then we added it together with that of Lam. So today, inshallah, we will proceed from that area. So we move to page number 25, where the topic is firstly fi bayanil qalqalati. The topic is discussing on the explanations of a qalqala. Qalqala simply means echoing in the pronunciation of an alphabet. It is for an alphabet, it is difficult for you to tighten it. Yani, if there is a sukun on the alphabet, it is difficult for you to tighten it or for you to pronounce it properly without you shaking it a little bit. What are we trying to say? The reason for qalqala is simply because two points of articulation are meeting in the pronunciation of the alphabet. So by the time they meet before it is pronounced. So if they do not meet, if those two points do not meet properly, the pronunciation will be difficult. So it is because of that difficultness that the Arabians, or let's say the Malams of Tajweed, now say that they have to introduce the echoing in order to pronounce that alphabet correctly. So let's read from the book, inshallah. Now, the question there on page number 25 is kam huruful qalqala. How many are the alphabets of Qalqala? The answer there is here khum satun. There are five in number. Yajma'uha qawluka qutubu jadin. They are summarized in the word qutubu jadin. Yani qafun, ta'un, ba'un, jimun, and dalun. These five alphabets are the alphabets that are referred to as huruful qalqala. Now, if you are reciting the Holy Quran and you find any of these five alphabets having a sukun, you will not be able to pronounce it easily and properly without having it make a particular echo. Let's continue. Now, the next question, Malam says, ila kam kismin yang tanqasimu. Into how many are the huruful qalqala divided? The answer there is ila qismain. They are divided into two. Suguru, the little qalqala, wa kubru, or kubra, which is the big qalqala. We have the little qalqala, qalqala to sugra, and the big qalqala, or qalqala to kubra. Fa inka nasukunaha asliyan. Malan says, if the sukun of any of these alphabets is natural, if the sukun is an embedded sukun, fahiya sughra, then it is qalqalat sughra. It is a small qalqala you put there. Wa in kana sukunaha ariban. However, if the sukun happens to be temporary or it is a situational sukun, fil waqfi, probably that occurs because you wish to pause on that alphabet, fahiya kubra, then it becomes a big qalqala. Mithalu sughra, as for the examples of the little qalqala, Malan says, yaqo. You see, if you are going to recite this particular word, if it because of the fact that the qafun there is a huruful qalqala and it has a sukun, you see yaqo, you say yaqo, because the qafun itself has to do with your throat coming together. On releasing your throat, that's when the pronunciation of qafun comes out. If you don't release your throat, just like ba, for instance, your two lips have to come together. Then on releasing that lip and blowing out the air that comes together with it, that is what results to the pronunciation of ba. So if you are now to tie the alphabet, it will not be easy for you to tie it. That's why many malams used to say under this issue of qalqala, there is hamza. Because if you put a sukun on hamza, it becomes difficult for you to pronounce that properly. It becomes difficult. Like let's take a case study example of hamza fatha a, then hamza sukun a. When you say a, it takes extra care to pronounce it a. Otherwise, you'd have pronounced it a or a, which would bring out the what? It will bring out the qalqala in it. It will bring out the echo in it. So many malams say that the reason why the hamza is not included as part of the huruful qalqala is simply because it would not be applicable over the board. If you are going to take it to, let's say, recitation in Warushu, most of the hamza we have in Hausu are not actually hamzas in Warushu. So because of this irregularities that hamza have across board with different riwayat or kiraat, that is the reason why the hamza does not have a qalqala. So, but what I'm trying to explain here is that the key stuff that we have ought to watch is the fact that the alphabet is a difficult one to tie in a sukun position. So you have to make that shake in order for the pronunciation of the alphabet to come out. So that's why we have the example here. You see yaqta'una. Then you have yaq, the ta'un there, you shake it a little bit. That's why it's called qalqalatus sughra. You see the ta'un there has a natural sukun. It is not a situational sukun or a temporary sukun. It's there. It's a permanent sukun. So you call it yaqta'una. Or you call the next one yaj'aluna, yad'una, yad'una, latub lawunna. So that's the example for the small qalqala. You shake it a little bit. Then wa mithalul kubra, as for the examples of the big qalqala, Balan says, for instance, if you are pausing on this word here, khalaqa, you see, you call it qa, you make that pronunciation to be obvious. You see, sirata. So it is not as small as the other one we talked about. You know, the smaller one we say yaqa, just a little bit. For the big one, you call it khalaqa, aw sirata, adhabe, adhabe. Then you say bahije, bahije, shadide, shadide. So if you want to practice this properly, I will recommend Suratul Buruj. If you open Suratul Buruj, you notice that I think almost all the ayah, aside from the last ayah, has or ends with a qalqala alphabet. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. Also, there is Suratul Falaq, where all the ayahs in that surah also end with a qalqala. The same thing with Suratul Masad, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin wa Tabb. So and so on. You can just maybe look through the Holy Quran and see how you can be able to pick out the Qalqalatul Kubru or Kubra and Qalqalatul Sughra, and from there it will bring the meaning more into limelight. So Malan says for hazihi taqallu halat al-waqfi. So all this qalqala, they occur in the situation of pausing. La halat al-wasli, not if you are going to recite along. If you are going to continue the recitation, then that qalqalatul kubra becomes qalqalatul sughur, because the big qalqala only occurs if the alphabet of the qalqala happens to fall in the end of the word or in the end of where you are going to pause. However, if you are not pausing and you are reciting along, then it is qalqalatul sughra. This is the simple way to differentiate it. If you are reciting along, it is qalqalatul sughra. But if you are pausing on the alphabet of the qalqala, then it becomes qalqalatul kubra, as Malam has explained, inshallah. So that is it on the issue of qalqala. So with more practice, I believe we will be okay with that. Now, inshallah, we will go into something else very, very briefly. If you look at the next page, it is on the issue of makharij al-huruf. And alhamdulillah, we've been able to touch this in the lesson 3 on the third class. So the following pages from page 26 have already been discussed in the third class. So I'll recommend that you go back or refer back to that class and try to see if you understand it properly. Otherwise, questions are always welcome, inshallah. Now we will skip through that from page 26. We'll come down to page number 30. We are not actually skipping through it. We have done it before. So you can go back and refer to the lesson on that, inshallah. So on page 30, Malam is talking about the explanation of the description of Arabic alphabet. The description of Arabic alphabet. So the topic here is the description of Arabic alphabet. The question, Malam says, مَا مَعْنَا صِفَةِ لُغَةً وَاصْطِلَاحًا. What is the meaning of description, literally and technically? As-sifatu lughatan ma qama bi-shay'i min al-ma'ani kal-ilmi was-sawadi. As-sifa, description, literally means the attributes of a thing from its meanings, such as knowledge of it, or its darkness or its color. For you to understand the way a thing is, for you to describe the way a thing is, what does that thing contain, what is that thing made of? That is the literal meaning of sifa. What is it made of? Wastilahan. However, technically, kayfiyatun 'aribatun lil harfi, it is talking about how you pronounce or how you present an alphabet. عند حصوله في المخرج من الجهر والزخاوة والهمس والشدة ونحوها. He says it is the way you present or the way you pronounce an alphabet at that time its point of articulation is reached. You know, the different points of articulation, the 17 of them were already discussed, inshallah. So how do you describe alphabet with regards to that? How do you pronounce this alphabet? That is what the technical meaning, application, the applied meaning when it comes to tajweed of sifati al-huruf. It means how do you pronounce alphabet from the points of articulation. Malam says of things such as jahri, was zakhawa, والهمسي وشدتي ونحوها and things like that. So all of these are different ways of pronouncing alphabets, and we'll discuss that as we go down, inshallah. The next question, Malam says, كم هي صفات الحروف? How many descriptions do alphabets have? How many descriptions do alphabets have? Malam says, هي سبعة عشر على المختار. There are 17 in numbers based on the more popular agreement. إلى كم قسم تنقسم هذه الصفات? Into how many are these 17 descriptions divided? Into how many are these 17 descriptions divided? Malan says, تنقسم إلى قسمين قسم. They are divided into two. They are divided into two. له ضد وهو خمسة وضده كذلك. Amongst this, they are divided into two. The first part has opposites, and there are five in number, and so also is the opposite, which means you can either pronounce it this way or the other way. You cannot pronounce it two ways at the same time, and there are five in number, and also is the opposite. So if you add that five plus this five, making it ten. So there are five ways that have opposites of the pronunciation. Then وَقِسْمٍ لَا بِدَّ لَهُ وَهُوَ سَبْعٌ. And he said, and the other division, they don't have opposites, and there are seven in numbers. So Malam is trying to tell us that the cipher, the description of Arabic alphabet is divided into two. We have the ones that have opposites and the ones that doesn't have opposites. The one that have opposite are divided, are five in number, and also their opposites are also five, which is a total of 10. And the one that doesn't have opposites are seven in number, plus that 10 gives us the 17 that Malam has mentioned earlier. Now the next question, Malam says, ما هي ذوات الأبداد? What are the opposite forms? The forms of the ones that have opposites that we were talking about now. Malam says, ذوات الأبداد, the ones that have opposites forms are الجهر. We have جهر. وضده الهمس, and the opposite of جهر is همس. وشدة, and we have شدة. وضدها الرخوة, and the opposite of that is الرخوة. وما بينهما, and then there is something in between شدة and الرخوة, which you call التوسط. Then Malan says والاستعلاء, and then there is استعلاء. وضده الاستفال, and the opposite of that is الاستفال. Then والإطباق, then we have إطباق. وضده الإفتاح, and the opposite of that is إفتاح. والإذلاق, and then there is something called الإذلاق. وضده الإسمات, and the opposite of that is الإسمات. So make more explanation on this, inshallah. Malan says, "Ma hiya sifatu lati la abadad laha." What are the descriptions of alphabet that does not have opposites? You know, these ones were the ones with opposites. Malan mentioned that there are five, and we have just mentioned those five and their opposites as well. So now the ones that doesn't have opposites, which are the seven, Malan says, "What are they?" Malan says, هي الصفير. It is what? الصفير. والقلقلة, and قلقلة. واللين, and لين. والانحراف, and انحراف. والتكرير, and تكرير. والتفشي, and then والاستطالة. والجملة سبعة فكل حرف يأخذ خمس صفات. Malan says والجملة سبعة, all of it together are seven in number. فكل حرف يأخذ خمس صفات من المتضادة, and every Arabic alphabet is carrying five out of what? The characteristics of alphabets that have opposites. Every alphabet is carrying 5. Wa amma ghayru mutabaddatin fataratan ya'khudhu minha sifatan aw sifatayn. However, for the characteristics of alphabets that doesn't have opposite, sometimes alphabets can carry just a single character from this non-opposite characteristics, or sometimes it can carry only two characters from it. And then Mylan says, وَتَارَةً لَا يَأْخُذُ شَيْئًا. And also sometimes again, they don't carry anything among from the characteristics that doesn't have opposite. Mylan says, فَغَوَيَةُ مَا يَجْتَمِعُ فِي الْحَرْفِ الْوَاحِدِ سَبْعُ صِفَاتٍ. Mylan says, and the limit, the upper limit of what a single alphabet can carry of the descriptions that have been mentioned is seven descriptions, which includes the five that have opposite, and also inhiraf wa takrir. Inhiraf wa takrir are from the ones that doesn't have opposite. And the alphabet in question here that can carry up to seven is actually the alphabet Ra. And we'll see if we can look into that a little bit before the end of today's lesson, inshallah. Wal khamsatu mutabaddatun. And it carries al inhiraf wa takrir, and then the five that doesn't have that has opposite, as I've mentioned. Wa sayati bayan dhalika inshallah. Amalam is saying that he's going to explain better, inshallah, by the will of Allah Ta'ala. As you already know, this is part of the sunnah, and also an injunction from Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. So Malam is saying that he will explain better on this, insha'Allah Ta'ala, the Almighty, في غير هذه الرسالة, in another message, in another book, في بيان معاني صفات, when it comes to maybe in a different book, or a different letter, or a different package, where he will call it explanation on the meaning of alphabet, lughatan wa istilahan, literally and technically, wa bayan at-tawarikh aw tawzi' as-sifat 'ala mawsufatiha, or in a different book called bayan at-tawzi' as-sifat 'ala mawsufatiha. So in other words, these issues are briefly mentioned in this book, and it will be explained better in a different book. But however, since we have already touched it, inshallah, we'll go through it, we'll go over it one more time, and we'll try and see if we can be able to give ourselves brief examples of each. So Mylan says there are five, and the five have opposite. Then there is seven that doesn't have opposite. For the five that have opposite, the first one Mylan mentioned is Al-Hams. Al-Hams simply means whispering, in the sense that there is a flow of breath that follows the pronunciation or during the pronunciation of an alphabet. Now the alphabets, the Arabic alphabets that have these characteristics of whispering are fa, he, or ha, then tha, then there is ha, there is shin, there is ho, there is swa, there is sin, there is kefun, and there is ta'un. So these alphabets, these 10 alphabets, are the ones that have this characteristic of being whispered. Now the opposite of whispering is what? Jahr, of course, audible, pronouncing them audibly. And all other alphabets apart from the 10 that fall under Hamsun are actually audibly pronounced. So when you come to pronounce any of these 10 alphabets, which is fa, ha, tha, ha, shin, kha, swa, sin, kef, or ta, you find out that you have to keep the air flowing during this pronunciation. Then the other one, you have to pronounce them audibly, all the other alphabets like we talked about, then this is the opposite of what of Hamsu. The opposite of Hamsu is Jahru. Now the next one is Ashiddatu. And we said Shidda, of course, from there you can easily say strength, for you to use force to pronounce something. There are some alphabets that you pronounce them using force, such as Hamza, A. You have to put the force, A, E. There is a way you pronounce, then there is Jim, there is Da, then there is Qaf, there is Ta, Ba, Ka again, then there is Ta. So these alphabets are the ones that you pronounce them with Shidda. This is why, like we have already seen here now, Kaf has the characteristic of Shidda, and it also have the characteristics of Hamsu. Remember, we'll say every alphabet carries five, either this or that. So you see, the characteristic of Shidda means that you have to trap the flow of air before you can make the pronunciation. You have to trap the flow of air before you can make the pronunciation. Either you trap it in your throat, you trap the flow, then you release it to make the pronunciation off. You trap it first, then you make the pronunciation. The opposite of that is as arrokhawa, which is weakness, looseness. So you in the case of rokhawa, it is you just say the alphabet, you say the alphabet, and then you don't have to allow it to be trapped, like it was trapped in the case of the shidda. You just say it. It includes all other alphabets except the ones who are in the center. There are some alphabets that Mala mentioned that they are in the center, and we said it was at Tawasuti. So the letters that are in between, they are neither pronounced with strength nor with weakness, rather they are pronounced in moderation. It includes, of course, Lam, Ra, Noon, Mim, and Ain. Lam, Ra, Noon, Mim, and Ain. These alphabets fall under under moderation. You pronounce them with moderation. Then the other one is Al-Istighla'i. Al-Istighla'i is elevation. You have to elevate your tongue to pronounce these words. You raise your tongue to the point of your throat. And I think we touched on this a little bit in our last class when we were talking about Lam, Wara, Al-Mufakhama. Where we had to bring out all other alphabets of Al-Istighla'i. Where we have mentioned, like we mentioned in the last class, we have Kha, Swa, Ba, Gha, Ta, Qaf, and Dha. You see, all these alphabets are pronounced A. So this is Al-Istighla'i. Then there is Al-Istifal, which is opposite Istighla. Now these words are pronounced with lowness. You pronounce them by lowering your tongue, and it includes all other alphabets apart from the nine huruful istilahi that have been mentioned. Seven, please. Then the next one is al-itbaq. Itbaq means closing. You pronounce the word by closing somewhere, two opposite places. Mostly it is the tongue and then the roof of the mouth. The tongue and the roof of the mouth has to be closed while pronouncing this huruf al-itbaq. What are the huruf al-itbaq? You have ta, za, swa, ba, ta, za. These four alphabets are the huruf that requires you to close the tongue and the top or the opposite place, which is the top of its mouth. Then there is al-infitah, which is opposite of itbaq now, which includes that you should open your mouth. You open that space to pronounce this alphabet. And the alphabets are the other alphabets apart from swad, bad, ta, and za. Now there is the which is the last set now. It is al-idlaq. for you to be fluent. It is fluency for you to flow while pronouncing a letter. The alphabets of al-idlaq are fa, ra, mim, nun, lam, waba. And then that is ismat. Instead of fluency, now it is restrained. Now the pronunciation of restraining alphabets includes all other alphabets, and they are pronounced from inside the mouth and the throat. These alphabets are pronounced from inside the mouth and the throat, while the alphabets of fluency are pronounced from the tip of the tongue and the lips. So the tip of the tongue and the lips bring out al-idlaq, while inside the mouth and the throat brings out what? Al-ismat. So these are the characteristics of alphabets that have opposites, and we have just briefly mentioned those alphabets together with their opposites. So for a person who wants to know this more deeper, or wants to understand this more deeper, we have to have more like a live session, inshallah, which is what we are planning for, maybe in our coming class, wherein our members will be able to pronounce the alphabet properly, or pronounce the alphabet to the best of their ability, so that we can hear and see how we can be able to improve on that if there will be any need. So now, these are the 10 that have opposites. Then there is 7 that have no opposites, and amongst them is as-safir. As-safir is whistling. You whistle an alphabet like sin, swa, za, za, zain, zain, sin, sheen, swa. So these 3 alphabets are actually whistled. Now there is no opposite of whistling. Mm-hmm. Now the next thing is al-qalqala. Mala mentioned al-qalqala, and we said it is what? It is echo or vibration or rest. And we have already discussed al-qalqala right now, but we'll just mention the alphabets again. We said there are 5 in number. That is qafun, ba, ba, jim, wada. If you want to arrange it accordingly to the abatatha, jimun hel, you have ba'un, jimun, dalun, pa'un, and qafun. So these 5 alphabets, actually they have an unrest whenever they have a sukun, and there is no opposite of this kind of unrest. Now there is lean. Lean is ease. You pronounce something with softness. The alphabets of lean are 2 in numbers. We have wa'un, followed by something having a fatha, or wa'un maskun, followed by something having a fatha, or ya'un sakina, followed by or sakin, followed by something that has a fatha as well. So I, if you have hamza fatha, a, ya sukun, I, you pronounce that with what? You pronounce that with lean, with ease. You pronounce it with softness. Now there is the other one called al-inhiraf, which has to do with inclination, and already we have hinted that the alphabet ra carries this inhiraf. The second alphabet is what? Is lam. So while pronouncing this inhiraf, you have to incline after pronouncing it. You have to incline after pronouncing the alphabet. The inclination for the pronunciation of lam goes upwards, while the inclination for the tongues, the tip of the tongue goes upward. It inclines upward. For ra, it inclines backwards or downwards. So these are the 2 alphabets of that have this characteristic called al-inhiraf. Now the next characteristic is at-takrir, repetition. At-takrir, repetition. And the only alphabet that has at-takrir is ra. The correct pronunciation of ra includes that you have to somehow repeat it. So the ra in its own self is not as if you are, but it's not the same thing with the Arabic or the English R. The English R is not the same thing with the ra. The ra has a little bit more repetition. It is a little bit thicker than the R that we already know. Then there is at-tafashi, which includes diffusion. At-tafashi, it's diffusion. You spread the air while pronouncing through your mouth. While pronouncing it, you spread the air everywhere, like sheen, Shin is the only alphabet that has this characteristic of atafashi. So you pronounce it sh, you spread air, you diffuse the air while pronouncing it. You are not going to concentrate the air, rather you diffuse it. And then there is well al istitala, which is the last of the 17 now, which is elongation. Okay, so the elongation in this case is usually noticed in the alphabet board. It is usually noticed in the alphabet of board, and the board here is usually a maskun, having a sukun, such as yabaribu, yabaribu. So the board in there usually carries a little bit form of elongation. So alhamdulillah, with this we have been able to reach towards the end of today's lesson, inshallah. And this characteristics of alphabet is usually merged together with the makharij al-huruf, but I was worried about how we are going to begin the lesson with concepts that are not very very common towards tajweed. That was why we left this one up to now. However, I encourage you to continue with the practice, and alhamdulillah, we are in a blessed month in which the recitation of the Holy Quran is a little bit more everything. It's more interesting. It gives you more peace. You have more time. You have more everything that you need to actually recite the Quran, alhamdulillah. So sit back and try to recite, and then see if you can be able to put these things into practice, and inshallah we'll also see how we can be able to assist each other, inshallah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the blessings of this month. We pray that He assists us in all of our endeavors. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka. Subhana rabbika rabbina wa rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.